Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. The announcer said if you have a Bible question or comment, I'll just let you know the lines are wide open. Nobody's calling right now. You can get in. The number is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Proverbs 14:12, which we've been emphasizing last several weeks, says this: there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Nothing can be more true than about the subject of divorce and remarriage that we talked about last week. It just seems right to man that he can get a divorce and remarry and stay in that second marriage. Everybody's doing it. Almost all the churches are saying you can stay in an adulterous marriage. By adulterous, what I mean is defined by Jesus in Matthew 19:9. He said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. So he's talking about somebody divorcing and remarrying, and the remarriage is adultery. And for some reason, 95% of the churches out there say it's okay to stay in a marriage like that, even though they can read this verse that says that marriage is adulterous. I mean, I think all of my radio audience knows you can't stay in a homosexual marriage because homosexuality is wrong. Then why in the world would you think you could stay in an adulterous marriage when adultery is wrong? You can't. If you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication to marry another, Jesus calls it adultery. And if you want to be forgiven of that so you can go to heaven, you're going to have to repent of that. Repentance doesn't mean, I'm sorry, God, but I'm going to keep on committing the sin. Repentance means, I'm sorry, God, and I'm going to quit committing the sin, which means you got to get out of that marriage. Quit committing adultery. Matthew 19:9 is clear on that point. But I mean, that's what the Bible says, but it just seemed right to 95% of the churches out there that you can just stay in an adulterous marriage. 100 years ago, no church said that. Now, 95% of the churches say you can stay in an adulterous marriage. They completely compromised. Why? I guess they compromised because they're scared. They don't want to lose members. They want, the numbers may go down, because compared to 100 years ago, a lot of divorces now, a lot of marriages end in divorce. I think it was back in the 1800s, it was only one out of every 34. Now it's over half of the marriages end in divorce. So if a church says you can't stay in a second or third marriage that violates Matthew 19:9, they're probably stand to lose a lot of members. At least that's what they think, so they compromise. Now, we're going to look at Mark 6:17-18. I think we looked at this last week at the end of the program. This is, of course, John the Baptist challenging Herod. Now, the Old Testament law is still binding at this point. So I'm not saying this is proof of the New Testament law, the law of Christ, but it illustrates the point that I'm making. Herod, secular history says Herod had divorced his wife, Herodias. Herodias had divorced her husband. And now Herod's married Herodias. I didn't mean that Herod had been married to Herodias before. That was just a misspoke that. They had divorced their spouses. Now they're married. John the Baptist confronts them. Here it is, Mark 6:17-18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Philip, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now what does that mean when John the Baptist tells Herod, it's not lawful for you to have Herodias? That's pretty simple. It's not complicated at all. If he's saying you're not lawful for you to have her, he means you got to give her up. Again, Old Testament law is still binding at this point, but this illustrates for us what a man or a woman has to do if they find themselves in an unscriptural, unlawful, an adulterous marriage, according to Matthew 19:9. It's very simple. A lot of people don't want to accept it because they want to do what seems right to them. I'm turning to Luke 18. I want to read verse 29. Luke 18:29 is talking about a situation such as what's under consideration. In Luke 18:29, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life eternal. Why would Jesus say you might have to leave your wife for the kingdom of God's sake? I thought he always wanted to stay with your wife. He likes marriage. He wants people to stay together. In the normal case, yes. But here he's saying you may have to leave your wife for the kingdom of God's sake. That can only fit what we're talking about in Matthew 19:9. If I were to divorce my wife, Carol, for, say, incompatibility, the most common cause of divorce in Alabama, and marry another, let's say that's Betty, then that marriage to Betty is adultery. If I want to do what's right, I'm going to have to leave Betty for the kingdom of God's sake. Sometimes people say, yeah, but that would be too hard, especially if there are children involved. The difficulty of the matter should not enter into it. What only thing that should enter into this is what does the Bible says? In the Old Testament, we have another illustration. Now, this is people in a marriage that violates God's will, not because they've divorced and remarried, but because they have married people from foreign nations. God had told them at the beginning of Deuteronomy 7 not to marry somebody, a wife, from one of these seven foreign nations. But they had done it. They had married a woman from this foreign nation. That's, of course, Old Testament law. The New Testament law, that wouldn't be wrong. But in the Old Testament law, they weren't to do that. Let me read for you what is said they needed to do to correct that. Ezra 10, verses 10 and 11 is what I'm going to read. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. They had married a woman that God had told them not to, and God says, separate yourselves from the strange wives. Was it going to be hard? I imagine so. They still had to do it. And some of them had children by these wives. Verse 44, all these had taken strange wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Ezra 10:44, they still had to separate from those wives. They married somebody God told them not to. They had children. They wanted to do what's right. They had to separate themselves from those wives. The same thing then would be true if we find ourselves in a marriage that violates the New Testament law, a passage like Matthew 19:9. Suppose your spouse put you away and they divorced you. Maybe you didn't want to get the divorce, but they did and they divorced you. Well, we read in Matthew 19:9, whoever marries the put away woman commits adultery. You can't remarry. If you marry again, then you're living in adultery. It's unlawful for you to have that second spouse. You're going to have to get out of it if you want to do what's right, repent, receive forgiveness. And if you don't, the Bible teaches that adulterers shall not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. Actually, the Bible is very easy to understand on this point. Now, it may be easier said than done. It seems to be hard for people to implement, but there's nothing hard to understand about passages like Matthew 19:9 and Mark 6 and Ezra 10. If you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication and remarry, you're living in adultery. Or if you've been put away and you remarry, you're in adultery. God expects you to fulfill that vow you made to your spouse when you got married, your original spouse, till death do us part. You're going to have to get out of that second marriage, that adulterous marriage, and you have to seek reconciliation with your original spouse. Let me read to prove that. Let me read Romans 7:2-3. While you're turning to Romans 7, let me mention the number again. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. Any Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Here's Romans 7:2-3. I like to say Matthew 19:9 states the facts of the case. If you divorce and remarry, you're in adultery. Romans 7:2-3 tells us the reason. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to a husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The wife is bound or obligated, might be the way we would say that, bound or obligated to her husband as long as he lives. So that if she goes out and marries another man, while that husband is still alive, she should be called an adulteress because she's still bound or obligated to that original husband. That's why it's wrong for me to divorce my spouse and marry another's because I'm bound to Carol as long as she lives. If I divorce her, sure, Alabama's saying that I can divorce and remarry, but God didn't say that. If I divorce her and remarry, I'm still bound or obligated to Carol as long as she lives. Therefore, when I divorce and remarry, I'm committing adultery with that second wife and against Carol, the original wife. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. Another passage I would like to read along to help make this point is 1 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11. It says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife." It's a command from the Lord. The wife is not depart from her husband. People say, oh, you can leave. It's okay to leave a marriage if you fall out of love. Or for whatever reason, we can get out. No. It's a command from the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 10. But if she departs, remain unmarried or be reconciled. She's supposed to try to be reconciled to make that sin right. But suppose that person that you try to reconcile to won't take you back. Then you have to remain unmarried. Don't commit an additional sin of adultery. Don't do that. So you're supposed to, if I divorce Carol for, say, incompatibility, marry Betty, that marriage to Betty's adultery. I can't stay in that adulterous relationship. I can't just say, God, I'm sorry for that adultery, but oh, by the way, I'm going to stay in this sexual relationship with this second wife, Betty. No, repenting of that sin to get forgiveness means I'm going to decide to quit committing that sin. I'm going to terminate that marriage with Betty, and I'm going to seek reconciliation with Carol according to Romans 7, 2, and 3 and 1 Corinthians 7, 10, 11. I'm going to make that sin, the sin I committed against Carol, I'm going to make it right and go back to fulfilling my responsibilities to Carol, the thing I agreed to in the very beginning when I married Carol in 1988. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You may understand this. You may be in your original marriage. You may understand the truth on this, but you may be part of one of those 95 out of 100 churches that doesn't stand for the truth on this. 95% of the churches just say, well, divorce may be regrettable, but it's okay to stay in the marriage you're in. You don't need to be a part of a church like that. Churches should withdraw from members who continue in, won't repent of, get out of adulterous marriages. Withdraw? What's that word, Pat? I don't know if I've ever heard of that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, here's where I get that word from, withdraws. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." So here's a person that's supposed to be a Christian, and he quits serving the Lord faithfully. We're to withdraw from him. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Verse 14 and 15 puts it this way. "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So we have to withdraw from Christians who become unfaithful, including Christians who divorce and remarry and are now living in adultery. We have to withdraw from them. If we're part of a church that just accepts them, says just stay in whatever marriage you're in, it doesn't discipline, doesn't withdraw from them, then we can become a partaker in their evil deeds if we just go along with it. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 5. First of all, to start with, verse 1 says, "It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Somebody in the congregation had his father's wife. In other words, he sounds like he's has a relationship with his stepmother. It's a pretty bad sin. Verses 4 and 5 reads this way. "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm supposed to withdraw from him. That's what that's talking about. Here's verses 9 through 11 that further elaborates. Verses 9 through 11, Paul said, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Here's a person in the congregation that's divorced and remarried in a second or third marriage, and it's not, it didn't have the grounds, didn't divorce their first spouse for fornication, or they were put away. In other words, they're living in adultery according to Matthew 19:9. And the church just goes along with it? No, they have to withdraw from this person. And we as individuals who are part of this church have to quit keeping company with this adulterer if he won't repent. We have to not even eat with him, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. If we just go along with it and go ahead and treat him just like nothing's happened, he's a faithful Christian, even though he's in this adulterous marriage, then we're going to become a partaker in his evil deeds. Let's turn to 2 John to see that. I'm going to read 2 John verses 9 through 11. We'd love to have you call with your question or comment. Any Bible question or comment is fair game. The number is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Here's 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So we have to abide in the doctrine of Christ to have God. Meaning if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, we don't have God. Certainly we can't be saved if we don't have God. I mean, the only way we're going to be saved is through the grace and mercy of God. If we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we don't have God. Here's a person that's not abiding in the teaching of Christ. Meaning he's divorced his wife for a reason other than fornication. Married another, he's living in adultery. He's not abiding in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ. He doesn't have God. He's not going to be saved like that. Verse 10, 11 says this. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Here's somebody else that's not abiding in the teaching of Christ. We're not to bid them Godspeed. Not to bid them Godspeed, meaning don't help them sin or encourage them in their sin. Because if we do bid them Godspeed, we become a partaker in their evil deeds. So we need to make sure that the church we're worshiping with is going to hold the line on divorce and remarriage and not just accept it. Not just say whatever marriage you're in, you can stay in it. They need to be withdrawing from members who are in adulterous marriages if they won't repent. That's what the kind of church we need to be a member of. Jason from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question is, if I remarry and my first wife passed during the second marriage, are you still in adultery?
I think Romans 7, 2 and 3 answers that question. I'm going to read it again. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. You see that phrase, Jason? So long as he liveth? But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she'd be married to another man. She should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So the reason it's adultery to be married to that second wife is because you're still bound or obligated to that original spouse. And if that spouse dies, you're no longer obligated to that spouse. So you're free to be married to that second wife at that point, Jason, according to Romans 7, 2 and 3. You see that, Jason?
So was that act of adultery committed then for the 5 years that she was living?
Yes, and you have to repent of that. You got to repent of adultery in order to go to heaven. I'll get back to you if I got time, Jason. Let me take this other call.
All right.
Keep listening. Tony from Delaware, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, so here's my question. So how do you confront sin in the church when you have members who are actively sleeping with each other?
Okay.
And they're not married.
You're just a member of that church, right?
Yeah, I'm in leadership there, yeah.
So you have to, in a nice and gentle way, you have to confront the people who are living in adultery or in fornication. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters." There's our word fornicator. People living together outside of marriage. "Nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So you have to confront these people who are shacked up or living in a fornication in a gentle and kind way and say, a Christian can't sleep with a woman he's not married to.
Well, he's just renting a room, he says. You say he's just renting a room from the lady.
Well, he's just renting a room, then how do you know that they're committing fornication?
Well, they both go in the same church. I mean, it's obvious. I'm a man. He's a man. And no one can play with fire and not get burned.
I got it. It's obvious to you. So you need to talk. Sounds like you've already talked to him, right?
Yeah, but he said God, he said, you know, it's God okay to, you see, I mean, he says that, it's okay between him and God, but here's the deal. I'm thinking about, like, even church discipline. Like, where does that come into play? Like, if you have people in your congregation that is actively and, I mean, it totally.
Tony,
is,
you have to be able to prove sin. You have to be able to prove sin to make accusation of sin. Mm-hmm. If you can prove it, then you make your accusation. You try to get them to repent. The steps are outlined in Matthew 18:15-17. If they won't repent, take two or three with you. If they won't repent, tell it to the church. The church has to withdraw from that person. If you can prove the sin and they won't repent, like two people just shacking up, and if they won't repent, if the church won't do that, then you got to rebuke the church and probably find, if they won't repent, find a church that is willing to toe the line against adultery and fornication. James from Indiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I'm divorced. I am a Christian. Had adultery the first marriage. And then I've been married three times. So I'm trying to figure out where I'm at.
Did you divorce your first original wife because she cheated on you?
She ended up filing. I tried in the very beginning, but after about 5 years of separation, she refiled.
She and you, so, that was your first wife, right?
Right, and now she's remarried. And now she's remarried.
Had she ever been married before you married
her? No.
Okay. But she ended up divorcing you.
She ended up filing a second time, and then got divorced. But we were separated for 5 years first.
Luke 16:18 says, "Whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery." So, James, if she divorced you, you come under the category of the second part of Matthew 19:9 and Luke 16:18. Whoever marries the put away person commits adultery. If she divorced you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, for you
to be able to remarry, you had to divorce her for adultery. And it sounded like you didn't do that. You let her divorce you, which means you can't remarry. But James, I'm going to have to go off the air. I've been given the signal. I've only got about half a minute. I'm going to have to go off the air. I'll try to call you tonight and within about 30 minutes, and maybe we can talk in more detail about this, maybe have a Bible study talking about it. Okay? I'll call you within 30 seconds. 30 minutes, I mean. Okay, James? All right.
Thank you.
You have a good evening. Thanks for your call. We're going to have to go off the air. If you'd like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me on divorce and remarriage or any other Bible topic, you call or text me after the program's over, which is in about a minute or two. The number to call is 256-682-9753. Free Bible study. It's your convenience. Call or text 256-682-9753.